Thank you, Brother Corey. I remember when Corey was just a little snotty-nosed kid running around here. Now he's got kids like that. Well, they're not that way. But anyway, I used to hear him sing, but it was different. He was singing to his daddy about the trouble he was in, you know, that kind of thing. But God has gifted him greatly, and that's good, and we're thankful for that. You know, I love to study eschatology. I like to study end-time events, Bible prophecy. And we're not left in the dark about what's going to happen out there in the future. I'm glad God has given us the black print on the future and what's going to take place. And we know that one of these days, and we don't know when it's going to happen, it may be very, very soon, that Christ is going to rapture the church. I say humbly, bring it on. And the young people say, yeah, but you're an old man. You're ready for it. Yeah. I want to tell you, no matter what your plans are, teenagers, the rapture is going to be better than that. Be better than that final test you're going to have in a few weeks, too, in about May or June. But we know that the rapture is going to take place. And then 7 years of tribulation. The first part of it will be a pseudo-peace. And everything will seem fine. Then Antichrist will enter into the temple. And then there's going to be the great tribulation. And then after that, we're going to see the millennial kingdom of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, it's going to come someday, the millennial kingdom of Jesus Christ. Let's read about it in the book of Revelation, if you'd turn there, to Revelation chapter 20. And let's just think for a few moments about this wonderful event that's going to take place called the 1,000-year reign, the millennial reign of Jesus Christ right here on this planet we call Earth today. Revelation chapter 20, I hope you find your place there. Revelation 20 and verse 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him, there it is, 1,000 years. Boy, that sounds good to me. How about you? Bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years shall be fulfilled. Now, why is he going to be loosed a little season after that? After that, he must be loosed a little season. Will there be some born during the millennial kingdom, and they've got to make up their mind? The Lord's going to rule with a rod of iron during that time, but they have to make up their mind. He's going to be loosed for a little season, but that's still not his final destination. He's going to get it, believe you me. Verse 4, and I saw thrones, and they set upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. They lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So what are the characteristics of the millennial age, the 1,000-year rule and reign of Jesus Christ? I submit to you, first of all, it will be a time of oppression and misrule that will be ended. A time when oppression and misrule will be ended. Right now, if you can't figure out and see the results of misrule and leadership and all of that in our Congress, our senators, our congressmen, our representatives, all of this mess that we have right now. All of the, you know, it's a mess. They can't do anything. What are they going to do with it? I mean, they can try, and they'll try to change some things, and I'm for that, and I'm for voting in somebody that'll at least make some kind of effort to do that. And I like the term drain the swamp because I think it's been needed to be drained for a long time. But I'm telling you, things are in a mess. They're just in a mess. Somebody said, I read the other day where they said the reason politicians don't want to call other politicians on the carpet is because they know too much about them, because they would call them on the carpet and they would expose them, so everybody just hushes and they don't do anything about it. But really, it's a mess. And I'm not trying to depress you, but I'm telling you, you know, it's not a world peace, and it's not going to happen until Jesus comes back again. But everything is just in flux. It's in a mess, and we try to change it. We try to correct it, but it cannot be corrected. And in the midst of that, there's a lot of oppression, and there's also a lot of misrule. And that's not only here. That's around the world. While you and I are sitting in this nice sanctuary with the heat or air conditioning, whatever's on, and we're pretty well comfortable and sitting on padded pews, around the world there are Christians right now dying for the cause of Christ. I mean, somebody right now is literally dying for the cause of Christ in the rest of the world, somewhere in the world today. And who knows how many are dying, and we get reports and see reports all the time of what is going on there. But Isaiah 11:4 says, "But with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, the power of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked." The day of the wicked being in control, the day of the wicked having the preeminence and having it their way is going to come to an end. It's finally going to come to an end. And that is the time of oppression and misrule ending. That is the time of the millennium. And I'm looking forward to that. Some of my favorite kind of shows or movies are when you have somebody who wears a white hat and somebody the black hat, and the person with the white hat finally catches the one with the black hat and does them justice. Go ahead, make my day, amen. I like that, but we're going to see the result of that someday through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he's going to take care of it. It'll also be a time when forbearance ends. This is sort of along the same way. Listen to Matthew 25:32. "And before him shall be gathered all nations." You get it? "Before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from his goats." That day is going to come. And the Lord is going to see to it that that takes place, that that happens, and there will be a great and exact separation that God is going to bring among the nations. In other words, he's going to judge the nations. He's going to do it. It's not just going to be America, but it's going to be all of the nations, the separation, the sheep, the goats. All of that's going to take place. The forbearance of God is going to end. What God is going to say is, "I've had enough. That's it. You're not going any further. And I'm going to take things in my hands right now, in my almighty power, and I'm going to show you that I am indeed God, the omnipotent God that you've rejected all of these years." It'll also be a time of toil ending in rest and reward. I like that. A time of all the toil, all of the hard times, ending in rest and reward. 2 Thessalonians 1:6-7. "Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us." To you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. He's saying you're going to rest with us. The Greek word is anestis, and we get our word anison from that. And you take anison sometimes, some of you do perhaps, to relax. And that's the whole root word of that. One of these days, hallelujah, the toiling, the work, the sweat, and all of the difficulties that comes with life and serving the Lord and doing all of those things, he's going to say, "Now look, I've got it all settled right now, and you've been working hard, you've served me, and come on in, and I'm going to let you rest in the kingdom." It's going to be a blessed and continuous rest throughout all of the millennial kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. I like the sound of that we will have rest. You who are troubled will have rest. Sometimes you just feel like you're just headed up to here, and you think, "Man, I'd just like to go away and rest a long time, just like to rest." Well, just keep on serving God now. Now's the time to work. Now's the time to labor. Now's the time to pay the price. This is not our Sabbath yet. This is not our rest day yet. But one of these days in the millennial kingdom, thank God we can sit down and rest or do whatever we're going to do in the millennial kingdom. We'll be busy, I think. I think we'll be, but we won't get tired. I do some things now. It doesn't take too much for me to get tired anymore. I don't know what the problem is. I don't think it has anything to do with age, but I can tell you, I'm thinking about ordering some Hattie Call. How many of you remember Hattie Call? Yeah, we got a few old timers here. Hattie Call was what the guy used to come around and sell in the country, and what it was a cheap form of liquor is really what it was. And everybody thought that really gave you some strength, Hattie Call. And so they would do that. But we won't need any more of that in the millennial kingdom, amen? You won't need any more uppers or anything like that. You won't need any more of that drink that you drink. I can't even think of the name of it now. But a lot of times you drink it between Sunday school and preaching so you can get some energy back. And we won't need any of that in the millennial kingdom. Thank God. It sounds better and better to me all the time. It's sounding good to me all the time. It's going to be great, folks. Let me tell you. You think it's something now. It's going to be great when we live in the millennial kingdom with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he says to you who are troubled, rest. Sometimes we have a lot of trouble, don't we? We have disappointments, we have problems, we have sicknesses, we have illnesses, we have premature deaths of loved ones, we have all these kind of things, but one of these days, thank God, we're just going to rest. Sounds good to me. And then the time of suffering ends in glory. The time of suffering ends in glory. Romans 8, 17 through 18. He says, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. You see, we're going to be glorified with him. That'll be a great day too when we're glorified together with him. And he went on to say, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Don't you worry about the suffering you're going through now. One of these days, he says, there's going to be glory. You're going to share my glory. We'll share the glory of the Lord Jesus. Oh, he'll be preeminent always. The Father will be preeminent and the Holy Spirit. But we get to share the glory of God Almighty during the millennial kingdom. What a great day that's going to be. And then it'll be a time of Israel's blindness and chastisement ending. You see, there's a covenant with them through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and on down the line with the children of Israel and the Jewish people. And I believe one of these days, according to what Ezekiel says, that their blindness is going to be taken away. And they're chastening. They're being chastened still now. They rejected Christ. You don't reject Christ as his chosen people without having some difficulties come your way. And the Jewish people, and we love them, and we want to see them saved, and we want to witness to them, and they have to be born again just like we do. But, my friend, they are paying a price and have paid a price and are still paying a price. The world is after their hide all the time, and part of that is a result of the fact that they rejected and had Jesus Christ crucified. Now, the Lord took all that and used it for us and for his grace to us. But Ezekiel 39:25, therefore thus saith the Lord God, now will I bring again the captivity of Jacob and have mercy upon the whole house of Israel and will be jealous for my holy name. Neither will I hide my face any more from them, for I have poured out of my spirit upon the house of Israel, saith the Lord God. There's coming a day when the blind is going to be taken off and they're going to believe. And I think part of that time is going to be revealed during the millennial age. And 144,000 good Bible preachers are going to be sealed and go all over the world preaching the gospel. And I believe a lot of the Jews are going to be saved during that time. And they're going to be there too in the millennial kingdom. That's going to be a great day when God does that. It's also the time when the Gentiles, the time of the Gentiles in. Now, you might move that up to the rapture, but also it goes into some of the other things that are there because Daniel gives us this image in Daniel chapter 2. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and Daniel had to interpret the dream. And the dream was about, one of the dreams was about the statue. And he said, this statue is a statue with a head of gold. Then it has a breastplate of silver. And all of that was represented by the breastplate. And then the belly and the thighs by brass. And then the legs of iron. And then the feet mixed with iron and clay. And he told him about that image that was there. And that was something that was symbolic of the Gentile age and all of these different empires. The Babylonian Empire, the Persian, Medo-Persian Empire, the Grecian Empire, then the Roman Empire. But then he said there's going to be a stone cut out, like a stone that's cut out of a mountain. That's the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. And this stone not made by man is going to come sailing down and knock down this statue of the Gentile world powers. And Jesus is going to rule and reign. He's going to rule and reign. And that's going to be a great time. The time of the Gentiles ending. All of that would take place. And then there will be the time of creation's bondage ending. I'm glad for that. Genesis chapter 3, you go back and study that, this earth was cursed. Not only was Adam and Eve, the day that they sinned, they would surely die. They didn't die physically. They began the process. They didn't die physically, but they died spiritually. But all things were affected by their sin. Creation was affected by their sin. We have all kinds of things that are affected because of that. Now, Romans 8:21 says, because the creature, or creature itself, shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Hey, there's going to be a great day coming when the lamb, believe it or not, and the lion lie down together. It's coming that day. There's going to be a day when your little child can play with a scorpion or an asp, and it's not going to kill them. It's not going to sting them. There's going to be a day when all of nature is impacted and all of the animal world and all of the things were impacted by sin. It's going to change during the millennial kingdom. And this is going to be a glorious, marvelous place. And I believe that the earth is going to resemble the Garden of Eden once again, where there's going to be bliss and we're going to have everything we need. We're going to be busy. We're going to serve the Lord. And by the way, that's why you need to work for the Lord, because how faithful you are in this life will determine your position, I believe, in the kingdom age, what you will be doing. Brother Rigsby will be the mayor of Yankee Town, New York City. Or maybe it will be Ohio, somewhere up in Ohio, Dayton, Ohio. And I'll be the mayor of Rayville, Louisiana, wherever that is. No, I'm telling you, it's going to be a great day, folks. Do you believe in the millennial kingdom of Christ? Amen. I believe in it. And I believe that it won't be long till Jesus will sound the trumpet. I'm really not looking for the undertaker. I'm looking for the upper taker. Amen? I'm not so much looking for signs. I'm listening for sounds. Because I believe we're getting real close to the return of Jesus Christ. And I know preachers are preaching that when I was in my 20s. But I'll tell you one thing, I can guarantee you it's closer than it was when they were preaching it when I was in my 20s. It's closer tonight than it's ever been. The Lord Jesus Christ could come tonight, and then all of this other would transpire, the tribulation, the great tribulation, and then thank God he's going to deal with all of this evil, all this wickedness, and bring this earth back into a pristine place, and he will rule and reign from Jerusalem. Amen. On his throne. That sounds good to me. How about you? I'm glad Jesus is going to come back again. And I'm glad that this is going to happen. Thank God for the teaching of the millennial kingdom. And some people say, oh, that's just, that's mythology. It really is not going to happen. I beg to disagree with you. If my Bible says it's going to happen, my dear friend, my Bible's telling me it's going to happen. It will happen. It's going to happen. Jesus is coming again. And Jesus is, I can't. You know, to me, it's just, I absolutely despise and hate Satan. I think it's all right to hate Satan. I don't like Satan. I can't stand him. And he's caused me heartaches and problems and all kinds of difficulty throughout all of my life. And all of you that can say the very same thing. But thank God one day Splitfoot's going to be put in his place. Amen? Jesus is going to do it. And you say, what is all this? How am I supposed to be moved tonight by the truth of the millennial kingdom? Well, I think this. Number one, listen to me carefully now. If you're here tonight and you've never received Christ as your Savior, you're not going to, unless you get saved, you're not going to be in the millennial kingdom. You know where you're going to be? And I just hate to say it this way, but you're going to be in hell. That's where you'll be. You don't want to be in hell. I'm telling you, I like God's retirement plan a whole lot better than the devil's, don't you? What's the devil's retirement plan? He's lied to you about all your earthly investments. His retirement plan is hell, suffering, and never getting out of hell. But God's retirement plan is the millennial kingdom, and ultimately heaven with him throughout all of eternity. And I'm telling you, if you're here tonight, sir, ma'am, young person, anybody in this building, if you have never received Christ, you should receive him tonight, because if you don't and you don't get saved, you will not be in this millennial kingdom that I'm talking about tonight, that the Bible's talking about in Revelation 21 through 4. You won't be there. You'll be in the horrors of hell. You can't get out. I have a bit of claustrophobia sometimes. I think I've told you this story where I climbed up under my first church. We didn't have a lot of staff. We didn't have a lot of help. There were about 80 or 90 people in that church. We had a blue, part of the roof was blue, and part of it was green, Brother Baldwin. And blue, I like blue. And so part of it was blue, part of it was green. It was leaking, and the stuff was falling off the walls. And so I had to do a lot of the carpenter work, and it wasn't the best in the world. We had to do some things. The Sunday school wing was two-story. It looked like a barn. It literally did, the woodwork inside of it. And then we used the curtains. You just had the old sagging wire lines and the curtains hanging down, and that's what separated the Sunday school classes. We made it all right, but I wanted to improve that, and so we went up, and we were working on it and trying to put some walls in and doing all of that. And one day I went over there, and I got under the church. Didn't tell Carolyn what I was doing. I was skinny then. I got under there, got under the church, crawled under the ductwork, which was not above. It was below the flooring of the church. I got over there, and we had run some wire down, and I wanted to pull it and wanted to get it fixed up so we could have good electricity, and we were going to put a restroom up there and plumbing. And when I got ready to come back, I couldn't get under that ductwork. I got stuck under the ductwork. And I want to tell you, I think, I'm going to die here. Carolyn doesn't know where I am. Nobody knows where I am. And I'm going to die here, and they're not going to find me for 2 or 3 days. And ever since then, I've had a little problem with some claustrophobia. But I'm going to tell you something. I don't care what your phobia is. I don't care what your fear is. I don't care what scares you the most. Hell's going to be 10 million times worse than anything you could ever imagine. So, friend, I love you, and you need to get saved tonight. Jesus loves you, and he will save you tonight. Then what about we who are believers? What does that have to do with the millennial kingdom? How can that motivate me tonight? Because we ought to be motivated to serve the Lord. As I said earlier, this is not time, folks, to rest. You say, well, I'm just going to sit on my blessed assurance and enjoy being saved. That's not what God has called us to do. God has called us to get up and work and serve him and labor for him. And you think if you don't serve God and labor for him, you're going to have some of the same benefits and rewards and trophies and positions in the kingdom that those who did? You're wrong, my dear friend. It ought to be motivation to you to say, I'm going to do my best for God. God's given me salvation, security. I'm going to be in the millennium. And by the grace of God, I'm going to serve him to the best of my ability until that day comes. That means everybody in this building ought to say, he deserves it. What he's given to me, and I'm going to do it, and I want those rewards, and there will be no regrets. Have you ever heard someone say after somebody died, I wish I had, or I wish I had a, I wish I'd have said one more word, I wish I'd have gone back by, I wish I'd have called him one more time, I wish. The problem with that is it's too late. And friend, that's the way it is with salvation. You need to get saved tonight, and then you don't need to wait to serve God until you come to the end of your life. Now's the time to be on fire for God and be revived for the glory of God and serve Him, so that in the kingdom age and the millennial kingdom, you'll have some position. I think it's all going to be wonderful, but I believe there's going to be some places in it for those who have been more faithful. And thank God for, we used to call them church people. Dr. Barber would refer to it, they said, they're church people. You know what he meant by that? They are dedicated to God. They serve the Lord. And that's what God wants out of us tonight. And that may mean you've got to correct some things in your life, get rid of some things that are sinful, and get on fire for God and do what God tells you to do. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed just a moment. And friend, I beg you, if you don't know, I mean really know, really, really know, that if tonight you died or Jesus were to come, if you don't know you're going to heaven, what you need to do, what you sanity would tell you to do is walk down this aisle and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Nobody can make you do it. It's your decision. God's not going to force you. I hope He's speaking to you. But if you're here and you're unsaved, come. And Christian, let God speak to your heart tonight. Whatever it is He said to you, respond. Father, thank You now for this time of invitation. May Your will be done. Oh, how we praise You and thank You, dear God, that we have something as believers to look forward to. And in light of what You've done for us, help us to give You our best, to judge sin in our lives, to be committed servants of the living God, and not try to rest now, but to give You all we have, knowing that the rest day comes later on. Help us and speak to us, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.